Today we are starting a brand new series on the fascinating phrases from Philippians. It's a 10-week series, and today we're starting with, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ." This 10-week series is going to bless you. This small little book of four chapters has all these fascinating phrases or verses, like the one we're going to talk about today. But if you stick with us through the series, you're going to hear from verses like, "He will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." Or how about Philippians 4:13? "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Or Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And so I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful series. I'm really excited about next week. Next week, Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Wow. Can't wait for next week. But what about today? "He who began a good work in me and in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now as we go into your word, we pray that your word would go into us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Don't start something if you're not going to finish it. Have you heard that before? Don't start if you're not going to finish. Well, the God you serve and the God I serve is a finishing God. Our God is a finisher. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11 that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Excuse me, that's Hebrews 12. It says in verse 2 that God is the author. That means he begins it, and the perfecter or the finisher or the completer of our faith. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. In fact, Jesus said at the end of his earthly life, he said to the Father in John 17, "Father, I have completed everything you gave me to do." Wouldn't that be cool to get to the end of your life and to be able to say, "God, I did everything that you have purposed for me to do." That's what Paul said, didn't he? "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my race." Well, there's no better finisher than God. He has the ability not only to get us started, but to also finish the work he's doing in each of us. And what I want to say to you is, even when your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was on the cross, in those seven last words he gave, do you remember the sixth word? He said to the Father, "It is finished." We serve a God who's a finisher. Here's the thing. Sometimes things don't look like they're finished, but you need to understand something. If something doesn't look finished that God has started, that means he's not done. If something doesn't look finished that God started, it means that he is not done. That means, guess what? He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with them. If we're unfinished, we're undone. And God is going to get finished whatever it is he's working in us. And this phrase in the book of Philippians says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ." That's chapter 1, verse 6. If you want more on the entire book of Philippians, you want an outline, you want some good teaching, go to bridgeway.cc, sign up for a campus email, whether you're a part of Bridgeway or not, and they'll send in a campus email Pastor Gary Coiro's notes on the book of Philippians that he has broken down for our Wednesday Night Alive class. But in this 10-week series, I want to highlight each one of these verses. And this first one says that he, God, who started the good work in you, that means what he's doing in you is good. It doesn't always feel good, right? But that means that he's working on something good, and you've got to be patient with him until he works it all out. And if you feel like you're not finished, it just simply means he's not done. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell somebody who needs to hear this today. You may feel unfinished. It doesn't mean God's done. He's still working on you. He's working on you like this road near my house. I moved to this new neighborhood not long ago, about 8 months ago, and I thought the neighborhood's so nice. I wonder why the main road that is going to a major highway is all bumpity and raggedy and jagged, and there's some potholes. And I'm thinking to myself, it's too nice of an area to have all that. I wonder why. And so for months, I would drive and I'd try to dodge potholes. Well, guess what? Just a few weeks ago, they started laying tar. They had all all these orange cones, and you know those people that have the vest on that have the sign that they spin around. It either says slow or stop. So guess what? They're working on it one lane at a time. And I thought to myself, yes, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Now, they don't just wake up and say, today we're going to fix those roads. You see, it was a part of a plan, wasn't it? But I just didn't know the plan. And so for 8 months, I'm sitting around talking, saying, I wish they'd fix these roads. Well, guess what? They had already planned to fix the roads. I just wasn't in on the plan. And the same is true for you and me. Just because it looks like something is unfinished, and just because it looks like something is not working, it doesn't mean God's not working. It's all a part of the plan. And then when the plan begins to go into effect, check out the next thing. They started one lane in the road. It's all nice and tarred. And so now what I want to do when I'm driving on the raggedy lane, when I see the new road, I move over and it's like a big bump. You got to get up on the nice road. But isn't that like our lives? Our lives are like a multiple lane highway. We want everybody to ride on the smooth side. We want everyone to see the smooth side of our lives. But you and I know that there's a smooth side to our life, but there are also some raggedy lanes, some lanes that are jagged, some lanes that are harsh, some lanes that have some holes and ruts in them. And guess what? That's a part of who we are as well. And so when God is working, sometimes he's working at one lane at a time. And as soon as he's working on one lane with your finances, all of a sudden you realize that another lane in your relationship needs to be worked on. And as soon as he starts laying something nice and smooth in your relationship, you find out that there's some area in your morality that he wants to work on. We have a God that's always got a plan to bring something new in our life, but sometimes he does it one season at a time, one lane at a time. But you can be guaranteed this promise that he who began the good work in you, will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. God never says, you know what, that's too much work. I need to stop working on him. I need to stop working on her. I need to stop working on this church, on this company, on this organization, on this family. It's just too much. No, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says that I go away to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I'm going to come back again and take you with me. In other words, he's not giving up on you. He's going to work with you and work on you until the day of Christ. What I'd like to do is talk to you about this phrase, day of Christ. It's mentioned in Scripture, specifically in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, oftentimes you hear of it as the day of the Lord. But I want to talk to you about the day of Christ. So what have we learned so far? We've learned that God is always working, that he will finish the work that he started. He'll never leave us. So then when does it all come to an end? It comes to an end at the day of Christ. That's when God's going to finally be completed with the process of helping us become sanctified to be everything he wants us to be. Until that day, he's going to keep working on the potholes in our life. But what is the day of Christ? It's when he comes back again. You see, in the Old Testament, it was known as the day of the Lord. In the New Testament, it's known as the day of Christ. Sometimes those phrases are used interchangeably, and sometimes you've got to look at the context because, check this out, the day of Christ is for believers. The day of the Lord is for unbelievers. The day of Christ is to encourage the hearts of those who know him. The day of the Lord is about judgment for those who don't know him. Now, listen, friends, I'm going to talk a lot about this later today. I can't do it all today because I want to talk to you about the 9 signs of the return of Christ. But I want to talk more about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. I'm going to talk about stuff like the tribulation, the 1,000-year reign. That's way too much for one Sunday sermon. But tonight at 5 p.m. on Facebook Live, I'm going to actually teach on the tribulation, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, what that means. What is the rapture? What is the eternal state? And I'm going to let you ask questions. I'm not going to be outside in a nice setting. I'm going to sit at my desk. I'm going to have my Bible out. I'm going to have my pen and my paper. And I'm just going to talk to you like we're sitting in a living room doing a Bible study. You can ask me questions, and I'm going to talk to you about what the tribulation is, what it's not, and what the day of the Lord is and the day of Christ is, and what all that looks like, and are we in the last days? Suffice it to say, that's 5 p.m. tonight on Facebook Live, on my social media, at Anderson Speaks, or on Facebook, you can just put Dr. David Anderson. But what about now? The nine signs of the times. We're going to go to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to listen to what he says in verses 1 through 14. And what you're going to find are these nine signs, and I'm going to tell you why nine of them are significant. But let me start in the first couple of verses to set it up, and then we'll go through the signs, and then we'll be done. Okay, so Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. Here are the first couple of verses. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, "Tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So his followers who are working with him, walking with him, learning from him, are saying, "Jesus, you're talking about the temple being destroyed. You're talking about being raised again in 3 days. You're talking about the end of the world. What is all this happening?" And guess what Jesus says? Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 4, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you." And then he says, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." That's the first sign. Jesus is now going to give us nine signs, and he likens the nine signs to 9 months in the womb of a woman who's giving birth, all right? And when a woman's giving birth, notice that she's feeling contractions throughout the latter part of her pregnancy. But when she gets closest to the birthing, that's when the contractions are, listen to me, more frequent and more intense. The more frequency and the more intensity means you're closer to the birthing. What Jesus is going to do is he's going to give us nine signs, like 9 months. And the more, the closer we get to the birthing or the coming back of Jesus Christ, the more you're going to see the frequency and the intensity of these signs. People will say, "Well, haven't we always had weather events? Haven't we always had these issues?" Yes, you're absolutely right. And hasn't she always been pregnant for the last month, 9 months? Yes. But now, because you're closer to the birthing, it's going to be more frequent and more intense. And so Jesus gives us the nine signs. The first one we just told you in verse 5, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." You'll know when people are coming saying that they're the Messiah, when they're the Savior. They may not use the term Messiah, but they're saying, "I'm the Savior. I alone can do everything. I'm the one that you need to put your trust in." And people begin to idolize that leader, whether male or female. When you start seeing the rise of that, you'll know that it's the beginning of the end, and many will be deceived. That's how you know. I mean, a lot of people saying, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Savior, I can fix everything." But when many begin to believe and follow, that's a sign. Here's a second sign in verse 6. "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." The end is still to come. We'll find out within these nine signs that Jesus will mention the end, the end, the end 3 times. Okay, so here we go. We've already seen the first 2 signs. One, people claiming to be the Messiah, but many following them. 2, wars and rumors of wars. We've seen a lot of wars, right? We've seen a lot of rumors of wars. We've seen a lot of fighting between ethnic groups and countries and nations and kingdoms, but it's going to intensify and become more frequent, and that's a sign of the time. Let me give you the third one. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Nation is the word ethnos, or ethnic group. So ethnic group against ethnic group will be fighting. kingdom against kingdom. A king is the one that oversees a dome or a dominion of people. And so you're going to have kingdoms fighting against one another, nations fighting against one another. And together you'll know when you start seeing the rise of it. It's always happened, but the rise of it is when you'll know that the Lord is coming back. In fact, the scripture says that it's going to be like in the air, you're going to hear this great sound like a trumpet. And even like when you hear this airplane going around or whatever you hear, it's kind of like, wow, the clouds are busting out. Sometimes I've even looked up in the air and wondered, man, is this the coming of the Lord? Well, you never know. But when you hear it, look up, because it's going to come like a thief in the night and no one's even going to know. And you're going to hear this sound. It's like, what in the world is that? And everybody in the world, whether they're in China or Korea or India or Afghanistan or America or Canada, everyone at the same time will hear the sound cracking throughout the clouds, and that's when you'll know he's coming back. Well, I'll talk more about that tonight at 5 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be on my Facebook page. So nation will rise against nation. Now let's check out the fourth sign. We find it in verse 7 as well. It says there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Famines and earthquakes. People have always been hungry. We've always had earthquakes. But remember, it's frequency and intensity. Man, been earthquakes all over the place, and fires and weather events and mudslides and tsunamis. Well, guess what? The more it happens, the more it's a sign that Jesus Christ is coming back. And in verse 8, check this out. Jesus says, all these are the beginning of birth pains. Remember I told you he's likening it to a woman being pregnant? These first several signs, the first four, it's like the first trimester. He says this is the beginning of birth pains. Frequency and intensity is the clue to the timing of the return of Christ. Let's move now to the fifth of nine signs. I want to make sure you get it down for those of you who are taking notes. We find it in Matthew 24, verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Christians, followers of Jesus, disciples of Christ, will be persecuted. We already know that the church is being persecuted throughout the world. We're not persecuted so much in the Western world, but it's coming. People are being mocked, and people are being looked down on because they are pro-Jesus and they're for the Lord, and start making you look and feel stupid and as if, all science is God instead of God being the God of all science, And so you got to realize that the time is coming. You won't be the most popular person because you are naming the name of Christ. And one of the signs is many will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. That is the fifth sign. Here's the sixth sign. At that time, verse 10, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many will turn away from the faith. Now, before we said that people will be persecuted, we said people will start believing other messiahs. But check this out. Now, people who were in the faith are going to be turning from the faith, right? And they're going to start betraying the very people that they said, I love you, they worshiped with them, they said amen to the word, and now those same people who were saying amen and hallelujah, some of them are going to turn away from the faith and even mock the very God that they said they once knew. Now, I could do a whole sermon on the eternal security and once saved, always saved, and if a person's really saved, then could they turn away from the faith and all that. I could give a whole sermon on train a child upright in the way he should go, and in the end, he's going to return, right? But you remember my message from last week, Cain and Abel, they had two sons, and one went the wrong way, one went the right way. Well, hello, welcome to parenting, all right? You have a 50-50 chance that one's going to be doing it right, the other one's going to be doing it wrong. But here's the thing. The people who look like they've been doing it right are going to turn away. You got preachers turning away saying, yeah, I don't even know if I believe in Jesus anymore. What? You've been preaching all this time. That's when you know the end is going to come. We won't go through the theology of whether they're saved, not saved, or what's going on right now. That's too much. That's a message all within itself, and maybe I'll do a Facebook Live on that one too. But one thing we will know and we'll note, and that is this. Don't be surprised when preachers, worship leaders, life group leaders, deacons, choir members, people who said that they believed in Jesus and had scriptures underlined in their Bibles, don't be surprised. They turn away. Say, I don't even know if I believe that stuff anymore. Signs of the time. That's the second trimester. But now let's get to the final trimester. Let's pick it up right at verse 11, and we'll find the seventh sign in verse 12, the eighth sign, and in verse 14, the ninth and final sign. All right, here's the seventh sign. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Now, before we said that first sign, I'm a Messiah, right? The Messiah is going to show up, a guy who's like the Messiah or a guy who's like the Messiah and deceive many. But you'll notice in this sign, it says many false prophets. Many people claiming to be the Messiah was the first sign. But the first sign of the third trimester, it won't be just one that everyone will follow. It says many false prophets will appear and deceive many. So now they're going to be following all kind of people, all kind of religions, all kind of gurus, all kind of philosophies, all kind of newfangled ideas. And so now it won't just be one, I am the man, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the one alone that can fix everything. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be everybody, all kind of, hey, you believe that one? Okay, you believe that one. You believe this one? Okay, you believe this one. You want to do that? Do it that way, you do it that way. And all of a sudden, you're going to have many false prophets teaching many false truths, and many people will follow them. That's the third trimester. All right, check it out. So now we're at sign number eight. We're almost there. We're talking about the nine signs of the times because Christ told us through Paul that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. Paul's the one who wrote the book of Philippians, and the day of Christ is a term that's unique to him. And now he knows what he's talking about. And so he's based it on what Jesus was saying. And I'm telling you the nine signs that Jesus has given. And we've now given you seven of the nine. Here's number eight. We find it in verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, remember, there's always been wickedness, but now the increase of it, right? The rise of things. You see the words like rise, nation will rise against nation. These kind of things rise. Well, here it says the increase of wickedness, and the love of most will grow cold, but one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's the word the end again. I told you, Jesus mentions the end three times. This is the second time. And here we are in the last trimester. It's the eighth sign. It's like the eighth month before she's about to pop in the ninth month, right? The increase of wickedness. And guess what? The love of most will grow cold. That means people who were loving, they're just not loving anymore. What happened? It grew cold. And the increase of wickedness, now wickedness more and more and more and more. And people, here's a better way to put it. People just don't care anymore. Like, remember when people were caring and compassionate and loving and kind? We're not going to have that anymore. The increase of wickedness on the earth, and the people who used to love and be caring won't be loving and caring anymore. The people who used to be in the faith, at least said they were, not in the faith anymore. Kids will turn against their parents. They'll be more disobedient to their parents than ever. People will hate more. There'll be more violence. And so you wonder, okay, if things seem like they were better before and now they seem worse, why is that? Maybe it's because the end of Christ is coming. So let me give you now the final sign, the ninth sign. She's about to give birth now. Okay, the intensity of the contractions, the frequency of the contraction, it's time. And we get to verse 9. Are you ready? This is what it says in verse 14. We're in Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Third time he mentions the end, and it's the last of the signs. The end. I mean, it's kind of like a story, and he says, the end. I mean, that's exactly the ninth sign, baby here, done. It's the same here. When he breaks through the clouds, it's because this happened. What is this sign? It says when the gospel's been preached everywhere. In other words, he knows the last person who's going to hear the gospel. And it goes on to say, as a testimony to all nations. So whoever the last person is to receive the gospel, and only Jesus knows this, they will be a testimony. I don't know if they'll be in Irian Jaya, if they'll be in Singapore, if they'll be in Texas. I don't know who that last person is. But once that last person hears the gospel and they become a testimony to all nations, he says it, and then the end will come. Book closed. Only God knew when the ark door was going to shut, when the last person was the last person, when the last animal was the last animal. Have you ever seen a long line, maybe at a club, maybe at a store or something, and they say it's going to close at this time, it's 9 o'clock, but there's a whole bunch of people still in line? What do they do? They'll stand behind one person and be like, this is the last person. A whole lot of people still left in line, but nobody else can come into the club, nobody else can come into the store, no one else can come in right now, doors closed. Only God knows when the last person is the last person. I can tell you this, Wycliffe Bible translators are saying that we are literally just less than 7 years away than the last people group getting a piece of the word of God. So I don't know when he's coming back. I'm not a date setter, but what I will talk about tonight is what it looks like from creation all the way until the return of Christ and what the timelines look like based on what scripture says. To tell us, is it possible that we are in what we call the seventh day, the last 1,000 years? We'll talk about that later tonight. What have we said? We have said there are 9 signs before the day of Christ, and I'm going to tell them to you really quickly. I am the Messiah, and he will deceive many. That's the first one, those claims. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. Famines and earthquakes. Persecuted Christians put to death. People turning away from the faith and betraying each other. False prophets deceiving many. Increase of wickedness, love growing cold. And the Bible preached, or the word of God preached, to the very last person, and then the end will come. Let me just kind of tell you what Jesus says in Luke 21 in juxtaposition to Matthew 4 so you can get it from another perspective. And this will be my last passage, but I want you to hear Luke 21 verses 29 and 31. This should put the exclamation point on it. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see yourselves and know, you can see for yourselves and know that the summer is near. Look at the trees. You can see that the summer is near. He's telling you, I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour, but you're going to see the signs. I saw the sign. You're going to see the signs. And then it's going to happen. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know the kingdom of God is near. They're not going to know. People look at the COVID virus, or they look at earthquakes, or they look at mudslides, or they look at fires in Australia. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. They're not thinking about the return of Christ. They're just thinking, oh my goodness, maybe science can help us fix this too. And maybe science can. But there is one day where you and I as believers know the kingdom of God is near. And that's what he says. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. This generation, the word generation is the word race, this human race, okay? So don't get thrown off. He meant that generation. He didn't come yet, so maybe he's not coming, no. The word generation is also the word race. So this human race will not certainly pass until all these things have happened. Verse 33, Luke 21, 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down, listen, with dissipations, drunkenness, and anxieties of life, and that day, talking about the day of Christ, will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Did you see that? Dissipations, drunkenness, anxieties of life. You know, people are all into that. Well, he's saying that's what's going to happen is that we get closer to the end of times. People are going to want to drink more, smoke more, hang out more, and be more immoral than they could ever be. And the anxiety of your life, that's why they're doing it. They're trying to deal with all this anxiety. And he says that day is going to close on you unexpectedly, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. But always be on watch. Be always on watch. And pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Are you going to be able to escape? I think you will. But I need to tell you, friends, the end is near. The day of Christ is coming. Are you ready? Jesus says, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. They say, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father God except through me. So if you're not ready, now's the time to get ready. Pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Get right with God. Get right or get left. You've got to make a decision. But the scripture tells us that a great trumpet will sound and the clouds will break. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us who are left and remain will be caught up in the air to meet him. A little gospel song I used to sing in this small little house church when I was growing up. Didn't have much of a tune to it, but it said, get right with God and do it now. Anybody know that? Get right with God and he will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. You want to sing it again with me? Come on. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God and he will show you how. Kneel down at the cross where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. Get right with God. Get right with God.